Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Because yeah. It can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough. Hi, I'm Kendra.
And I'm Jade Hollyfield, filling in for Ann.
Good to have you
Ann
again.
Cockrell. Thank you. It's always a joy to be here.
Fun to have you on the show. For those of you that are new to Hannah's Heart, this is a show for couples struggling with infertility or recovering from a miscarriage, or maybe you're praying about adoption and God is building your family in a unique way.
I like that.
So today we have a really special guest with us.
She's a friend of both of ours.
She has become such a great
sister. Yeah, yeah.
She's one of those people that just radiates the glory of God, and you
That's
can't help but just want to be around her all the time, right?
I want to be her friend. I know when I first met her, it was actually through a few years ago. I was like, she's really cool. And yeah, I totally agree. Yeah.
So for those of you that don't know who we're talking about, Laura Perry Smaltz, I met while we were working on the film In His Image, a documentary about honoring God through gender and sexuality. And we got to work on that project together. I got to interview her and hear her testimony. And you have been leading the Marriage Family Life Conference. And
Look,
she's been
like,
a guest several
times. Where
are
you getting it with this?
Yeah, so you've had a lot of interactions with Laura
as well. She's been a part of it almost every year. So yeah, it's been a joy. And then just our walks. She's a stepmom just like myself. Yeah. And so yeah, but I'm not going to give away what she's going to share. But yeah, we have some things that's similar.
Yeah. For those of you that don't know her testimony, the longer version, it's a continuing testimony that's always evolving. I love it. Is at inhisimage.movie. You can go watch the full thing. That's a product of AFA. But I'm going to have her really quickly, for those of you that haven't heard her story, Laura, if you can give us just like the 3-minute recap of how God has radically transformed your life.
Sure, and I'm so glad to be on with you girls. I mean, we become like sisters. But yeah, I grew up in a Christian home, and I heard the gospel, you know, all my life, or at least I heard a lot about the Bible and a lot about Jesus, but it just never made it to my heart. I really didn't understand the gospel. I was trying to fix myself in all the wrong ways, and I was just so broken. And I didn't realize then that I was in so much sexual sin, and I didn't realize the damage that was doing it just made me more and more fractured and broken, and I began to lose all my self-worth and value. And I decided, because of a lot of childhood beliefs, that the problem was I was supposed to be a man. Mm. And so I transitioned, I never actually changed anything except my appearance, right. From female to male, lived that way for about 9 years, had multiple surgeries, hormones, and found in the end it was a complete lie. And but the Lord had been pursuing me, and the Lord delivered me and got radically saved, came out of that lifestyle. And as I began to walk with the Lord, He began to heal me. And as He began to heal me, then He brought me a husband, and I got married just a little over a year ago. So God has really been restoring and redeeming my life.
I got to be at your wedding, and can I just say, like, the Holy Spirit was so evident there. Like, it was just dripping, and it was just like marriage in general is such a picture of Christ in the church, you and your husband are so surrendered to Him, and your story of everything you've gone through is just so beautiful. So thanks for sharing your life with the rest of the world.
I'm a little petty right now. I didn't get that invite, but I still love you, Laura.
There's a video that you can watch, and it has been viewed like a ridiculous amount of times.
Okay, so I'm going to have to watch the video. Yeah. I know we're still friends, Laura. I love you, girl. But so many people who went told me that they sensed the presence of the Lord. And so I was thrilled when I found out you were getting engaged. So I'm very happy for you.
Well, today we want to talk about a couple different topics. First of all, at the Marriage Family Life Conference, Jade, we had someone that came up to our Hannah's Heart booth, and she said, I have an idea for a show. She said, I had my tubes tied after my husband and I thought we'd done having children. She said, unfortunately, that marriage fell apart. I have remarried, and now I have regret that I did that and I can't have another child. Yeah. And she said, would you have somebody on the show just to talk about different surgeries and decisions we make about our fertility that that we might have regret over? So that's why, Laura, we wanted you to come on to talk about this. Yeah. Specifically, there's the LGBTQ community is pushing a lie and an agenda.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of impact on that in medicine, but we also realize that this topic will potentially cover people that have just regrets of surgeries in general in life. So
I love that. Yep.
Anyway, so let's just jump right in.
I'm looking forward to this.
And even, you know, so many young girls, I hear from girls all the time, they'll say, well, I don't ever want kids. And I'm like, you're 16.
Yeah, I hear that too.
And I really, I mean, I had kind of wanted kids off and on throughout young adulthood once in a while, but really that desire did not come along until I got married. Mm-hmm. And oh my goodness, that desire just became awakened. And I was like, Lord, I just didn't understand. And so now the regret that I've gone through since getting married has been so much more profound than I would have ever dreamed. And just the grief that I've gone through, because you have that desire, even though you spiritually become one, but there's that desire for the two to create this one being and to see, the mother and the father in one child, and to see what Barry and I would look like in this child, and to see your personalities come together and your... You know, there's so many things that you wonder about, and it's weird, like, just the things I've thought about, and there were times where I was, like, imagining these children that we might have and giving them names, and that was just, like, so worrisome. Like, it seems like there was no place to take that grief, even though I could take it, I ultimately had to take it to the Lord, but it was like there was so many things in life. There are things that we can hope may change eventually, but this is so permanent, and I have no way to fix it. I mean, I can adopt, I can have, and I have a stepson now, but there's no way to fix what I've done surgically.
Yeah.
And the grief of that, and knowing that that's not ever going to happen in this life, has been really unbearable at times.
Yeah.
And yet I've seen the Lord comfort me in ways that I never dreamed possible. And it's like, you know, I think sometimes we think that the Lord will comfort us by answering our prayer, you know, or by giving us what we want, just like in getting married. I mean, I was grieved for a while that I was single. I went through various stages. There were times I was very content, very happy, times I didn't even want to get married because I was so content in the Lord. But there were times I was really lonely. There was times I really wanted to be married, and so God, you know, answered that prayer. And I think that there's times that we think that's what the Lord's comfort looks like. But what does the Lord's comfort looks like when the answer is no?
Come on, that'll preach.
And that's hard.
Yeah. You know, Laura, I love your transparency on this topic. And just even listening to you now, I can hear some emotional, which, because that is something emotional. Like, I too have been married 6 years and we have not had a child. And I married someone with a child. And I sometimes wonder, and you answered this for yourself, but for me, I will say marrying someone with a child, it enhanced my desire even more. I always wanted to be a mommy. Even when I was a little girl, my prayer has always been I wanted 3 boys to raise them, because men are the headship of the house. I always wanted 3 boys to raise them in the admiration of the Lord, for to prepare them for marriage and leadership. And so when I married someone with a child, it was just like, and we were struggling, and ours is a male factor, which he does not mind me sharing that. Wives, always be mindful what you share. He does not mind me sharing that. And so, you know, his body changed, and he had some hormonal things. But do you think marrying someone with a kid, did that add to it? Because, like, for me, the thought was, oh, he could have one with this woman, my husband, with his ex, but not with me, you know? Like, how have you...
adjusted to being a step-parent.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's kind of both, because in one sense, it's given me the opportunity to be a mother. But in the same sense, that it is. And, you know, that's hard, because it's a constant reminder of what I don't have. And so that's really hard sometimes. And it's a continual laying down of this desire, because it's not helpful for me spiritually or emotionally to keep crying out to the Lord and saying, what if, and I'm, you know, all the regret and all those things. It's like, Lord, I need to heal. But it's like ripping off the Band-Aid continually.
Ooh, girl, that's a description.
Yeah, and step-parenting might be a path that God leads some people to that can't have a biological child, but it is a hard path.
Because that love is not, let's be honest, that child doesn't even love you like their mommy.
Right.
But yet there are adults who expect you to love that child like it's your own. No, love is a choice. Mm-hmm. It's not a feeling. We as women, we do have these emotions. Right. So it is you making a sacrificial choice. Actually, I think it's more powerful than a biological parent because you're sacrificing a lot for your stepchild.
So, Laura, we're going to jump into the redemptive side of your story and how God has fulfilled that desire and that hurt. But before we do that, I do want to say just briefly, if you can touch on anyone who is considering making a decision that might impact their fertility. Specifically in our culture, there's this wave of young girls. I think it's like girls who are transitioning has increased like, what is it, like 2,000% in the last few years. Like it is a ridiculous statistic. I'll have to go look that up again. But Laura, what would you say to anyone that's young like that, that's 16 or 17 and thinks, well, I'm never going to want to have kids. And this seems to be the answer to these problems in my life.
Yeah. And first of all, I think if you looked up the statistic today, it might be outdated next week because of the growth in this lifestyle is so exponential that it's constantly outdated. So that's the tragic part, is that these girls are deciding this in mass waves. I hear of many throughout every week. I hear from new parents where their kids are identifying as trans. And, you know, I think I would just caution any girl considering this. I know what it's like to want this more than you want anything else. And I mean, that's really all I could see at the time. It's like nothing else mattered, whatever price I had to pay, but you don't really know how big that price is. Mm-hmm. And I would do anything to have it back. I would do anything to go back to that moment. And I seriously considered canceling that surgery because I remember thinking that I wanted a child, even though that desire wasn't real strong at the time. And I thought, this is so permanent, but I wanted the transition more than I wanted anything else. Mm-hmm. But I didn't understand that one, the transition was not ever going to be real, but that desire that would be so strong later. Or even if you're thinking, well, I'm never going to get married. I'm not going to get married to a man. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I didn't think so either, but the Lord is so transformed. I could not have imagined marrying a man back then, you know, but you don't know what God has for you in the future in your life. Mm-hmm. And even if you don't have that surgery, the hormones can make you sterile. Ooh. And there's so many things along the way. Or like I have friends who didn't have a hysterectomy, but they had the breasts removed. Mm-hmm. And so they can't breastfeed a child. Mm. So even if they have a child later on, they can't breastfeed, which is, it's not the end of the world. Sure. But that's part of the bonding process. Mm-hmm. And that's part of, it's a lot more healthy for the baby. There's a lot of different things that go into that.
I'm glad you mentioned the hormones, not just the surgery, because the hormones sometimes are advertised as this is just an early first step and like you can change your mind about you can transition back later. But the truth is once you take cross-sex hormones, that causes infertility, right? Like you can never have a child after you begin taking those.
Right. And I'm not saying that like one dose is going to make you completely infertile.
Yeah.
I mean, it does over time, but and God can redeem those things if you have gone down that path. I have a friend who has gotten pregnant, but after living as trans for a couple of years, but honestly, that's a miracle. And there are a lot who can't. Right. So it just depends on the body and different things, but it is such a huge price to pay. Mm-hmm. And there was, I remember there was a girl that was sharing her testimony, and she said that she'd gotten saved, and God showed her one of the reason that Satan is so adamant about pushing this agenda is because she had a vision of, like, a husband and a wife, and then all these children underneath them, like all these future descendants. Mm. And then there was just a red line under this, it was actually a same-sex couple, or it could be like a trans person or whatever, you know, but there was just a red line and then just black underneath it. And there's just, when you see that something is profoundly missing, you know, that it's just such a great source of grief.
Let's talk about that condemnation that comes from the enemy, because it's not just this topic. I've met women who have had abortions in their past, and the mm-hmm. scarring and the process of the abortion has caused them to not be able to bear children. Now, and the enemy comes into whatever situation of what past decisions you have made, and he says, you have ruined your chances, and now you will never be a mom. You can never find joy and happiness. Laura, how do you silence the enemy's condemnation when you've already repented and come to the Lord?
Well, you know, I had to wrestle with that because I started studying several years ago. I asked the Lord to teach me about his design of male and female, and God gave me an absolute passion to teach about how he designed us. And I started discovering that there's over 6,500 biological differences between men and women. And the entire female body, every single part of the body is designed to bear children and to nurture and foster children. And so I really had to wrestle with the Lord, like, Lord, how do I have any significance as a woman if I can't bear children? What does this mean for me? Like, my whole body is designed for this. But the Lord reminded me that it's pointing to a greater spiritual reality of how he made us to be nurturers, how he made us to be relational, how he made us, like, even our arms are at a wider angle than men. They call it the carrying angle. It's to accommodate for the fact that our arm muscles are weaker, so we can carry the baby at a different angle. But that's also, I mean, think about it. It's like our arms are open, you know, because they're spread out wider. And so that's what the Lord has put on my heart, to nurture and foster relationships and to pour into other people's children who don't have good parents, to pour into other women who are struggling in their marriage or struggling with their children. And we can have such a huge impact. But if we stay focused on what we don't have, we will miss out on so much of what the Lord has for us.
That'll preach, Laura. Yes. That'll preach. I want to add this. Man, girl, that was so heavy what you just said, first of all. the goal in life is to glorify God at the end of the day.
Amen.
And whichever way the Lord sees fit to bless you. And I love that you said this, because when I was struggling, which I still have my moments because I'm human, of like, oh, when am I going to have a baby? But I'm a whole lot better than where I was. But when it was heavy, the desire for a child, I remember asking the Lord, well, why did you give me this desire to want to nurture, to want to take time? Because let me tell you, parenting is intentionality. There are a lot of parents out there that are lazy, but being a biblical, God-fearing parent, that's a lot of intentionality. And I would tell the Lord, I want to do that. And what I'm realizing is, what's hitting on to what you just said, the Lord has given us as godly women this desire to nurture all children, who's ever across my path, as well as women. I'm realizing that, like, there's a young lady at my church recently that we've connected, and I'm like, man, she's missing something that I can give her. And we're talking and communing. And so the Lord didn't give you this desire for no reason. And it wasn't just he gave it to you to bring it about with other people that will come across your path. And that's a blessing, my sister Laura, whoever else is listening. And you're like, man, when am I gonna have a child? Look, if he doesn't give it to you, that nurturing that you have is for someone else. And that's a blessing.
Amen. In fact, there's a lot of people who have, and I started sharing the grief about this on Facebook one time, and I had hundreds of comments on people, oh, you can adopt and you can adopt. And like, nobody wanted me to feel the pain.
Right.
And well, I can appreciate that. It was like, I just need to grieve. But I realized too that if I had my own children, and God may still give me a children, I do have a stepson, but he's older now. But still, God could give me those children, but I have the opportunity to impact lots of other people's children. And I feel like that's what God has called me to. Even though there's a grief and I want my own child, I have an opportunity to impact far more children than I would if I had my own.
Yeah, that's true.
Laura, you said people kept pushing you to adopt. Adoption is a
beautiful
path that God often does lead people that struggle with infertility to, but it is not a band-aid for that hurt of having a biological child.
Yes, thank you for saying that.
And so, like, it can be difficult. Be careful when you're trying to encourage somebody, oh, just adopt. Like, first of all, yeah. I'm sure they've thought about it. Like, they know that's an option.
Right.
But, like, right. there is a desire, like you said, to right. have somebody that is like you. And yes. and that's not necessarily. Yeah. I struggled with that, thinking that that was a wrong desire, because I thought, well, man, there's so many babies that need to be adopted. And yet I really want something that's a part of Eric and a part of me. And yeah. I felt yeah. guilty for feeling that way until the Lord showed me. He said, no, that's another way that I work. And mm-hmm. just like I created you in my image, it's okay to want something that reflects and looks like you.
Totally fine.
So it's okay.
And it's normal. Oh, it's wow. normal. I love that, Kendra.
Oh, my goodness. That about made me cry. I just thought about, like, the fact that, because I've been learning that our relationships here, we're made in the image of God, mm-hmm. and we reflect mm-hmm. Our relationship with God. Mm-hmm. And so just like a husband mm-hmm. is, you know, the one of the ways that we're, this represents Christ and the bride, like Ephesians 5, is that many of the ways that we struggle to trust God are the same ways that we struggle to trust our husband. Mm. There's a lot of connection there.
Yes.
I was just thinking about the fact that we desire to see a child like us, because mm-hmm. God created us in his image, mm-hmm. and he created us with a desire to see a child in our own image. But so how can we as women, you know, Jade and I, or whoever else is out there listening, women who don't have our own biological children, you know, we can produce spiritual children.
Yes,
that part right there, sis.
Jump on it, girl.
That part right there, sis. And I'm at a place now where I get excited about that. Like, I can apart. But let me tell you something that I realized, though. Mm-hmm. Because maybe there's a step parent listening, and I know you're like, this is not a blended family show, but there's a lot of blended families in this world. Mm-hmm. There's actually more blended mm-hmm. families than there are biological.
Wow.
Maybe you're listening right now. I know I read that one day. I was like, what? Maybe you're listening and you're like, wow. But my stepchild doesn't want me. Listen, mm-hmm. you can only impart to someone that wants it. You can only disciple someone that desires it. So pray for them. Mm-hmm. But there is going to be someone else who does want that mother figure, mm-hmm. who does want that person in party. Trust me, okay? And in due time, hopefully your stepchild will come around, but maybe you're not the person to impart mm-hmm. to them. And that's okay.
Amen.
There's a joy to this. There is a joy.
I love what you said, Laura, about spiritual children, because there is an aspect of you passing on the image of God put in you into other people through the gospel, through discipleship. But there's also an aspect of it might be the specific way that God works in your life. I'm thinking of Elijah and Elisha and this mantle that he passed on when he left, where he was like, I have a specific calling and a way that God works with me, and I want to give and I want to pour that into somebody else. Maybe God has given you the ability to be organized, or maybe you have a spirit of discernment, and he wants you to train other people to operate in those same giftings that you have.
Love that.
That's another way of being fruitful and multiplying
in
the kingdom.
Kendra!
Amen.
Good, girl. Amen. This blessed me. What you got to say, Laura? That was good. I'm sorry. I'm trying to process that. I'm sorry.
We need the organ music.
Man.
I think that's so powerful. And in fact, I was thinking about just that reality of being able to pass on that spiritual heritage.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I was going to mention, so there are so many, I get calls from hundreds of parents who are grieving over the choices their children are making, and they get stuck in this place of worrying about their children 24/7. And I'm not saying, I can understand that, but at the same time, there are so many hurting people out there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in that place where your child is just causing you a lot of grief, they've walked away from the faith, you don't have much relationship, yes, keep praying for them, but do something with the time. Maybe God has freed you up for this season to be able to invest in someone else, and he will bring that relationship back in his timing and restore all things.
And that reveals your heart of even why you want to nurture. Because if you want somebody to look like you, to make you look good, God will say, uh-uh. Because I had some idols of motherhood that I had to, like, tear down, you know, because of why I wanted it. And, like, if you're going to pour into somebody else, it's going to be for selfless reasons. And the Lord will he'll see that and honor that. Okay, fire round. I know you two ladies know the word of God.
Uh-oh.
Give me some scriptures that come to your mind to somebody who has felt accused by the enemy and needs hope that there's still meaning and purpose for their life.
I'm going to let you go, Laura. You're the guest.
Yeah. Well, I was just thinking, I've got to look it up to quote it exactly, but it's Isaiah 54 that says, and it tells her to sing, actually. The Lord just reminded me of that. He's not just telling her, but he says, sing, O barren woman, those that have not borne children. And it's like, rejoice and be, praise the Lord in this. It's not a lack of grief, or God's not saying you shouldn't be sad, but he's saying, sing and give praise and honor to the Lord for whatever God has called us to, whatever God has put us in. It's for a reason. And he says, you will bear, have more children than the woman who bears children.
Ooh. Amen.
And that's spiritual too. Those spiritual babies.
That's what we're talking about.
I love that, Laura.
Spiritual babies.
My verse would be Psalm chapter 18. The entire chapter rocks my world. Mm-hmm. Verse 1 and 2 specifically. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. But read that entire chapter. David is struggling and the Lord comes down to for his protection. It's awesome.
Y'all, get in the word. Laura, thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate you. You're such a blessing. I can't wait
to see
the way God continues to use your testimony. Appreciate you much.
Thank you so much. God bless.
And thank you all for listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio.